Yes, Lord, we pray for a heart that sings and worships your name, Lord. We pray for renewal, Lord, for strength in our hearts, for vision, Lord. We pray for discernment. You're the one who brings the ability in us, Lord, to perceive your things, Lord, your commandments, your presence, Lord. Lord, renew us. As we look at this word and these scriptures this morning, Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray for that ability, Lord, to apply it in our lives. May we humbly, Lord, acknowledge that we fall short on our own ability. But when we come to you, Lord, and submit to you and surrender everything to you, when we trust in you, Lord, we experience, Lord, that revival in our hearts and that passion, that motivation that allows us to go forth, Lord. So guide us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you use these verses and these passages, Lord, to allow us to reflect on how we are living today, on the now, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. If you're, obviously, you're, many of you are visiting this morning. As a church, in the last 8-9 months, we have been going through the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 13. We are right in the middle, but we're going to read the whole chapter this morning. And when you get to Revelation, a lot of times the fear or maybe the challenge of saying, I don't know if I can really dig in there and find something applicable to my life. Sometimes that makes us kind of run away to another passage of the scriptures. But you know, there are so many passages in Revelation that encourage our faith. And when we look at Revelation, it's not about information. It's not about knowing details of the return of Jesus Christ only, or, you know, what are the signs of the end times? What would happen through that? How can I know if I am already in the middle of the Great Tribulation? Really, Revelation has an aim and a purpose. It is to produce in us a passion and transformation for the Lord. And so we look at this, and right here in chapter 12 and 13, we've been looking at these two chapters in the last 3 weeks, we see deception, the lies of the enemy, Satan rising up, wreaking havoc in the earth over the culture and society, the nations. And you wonder, how can that be possible? Last week, we looked at the rising of the beast, and as we were asking some questions, you know, we were wondering, how can this be that a beast comes and overtakes everything? Politically speaking, culturally speaking, a beast is something that is stronger or more powerful than anything else. It's a movement. It's a regime. It's something that has to do with the minds. But today we're going to also look that it has to do with the worship. It has to do with those things that people are chasing after. And maybe before we even read the passage, I want to ask these questions. And one of them is this. What is people chasing after today? I mean, if people was to be deceived in such a way that the whole earth and society worships one individual over the face of the earth, and it's deceived by Satan, what is people really thinking? What are people's minds and ideas, and why are they deceived to such an extent that they can go after this beast, after the enemy, even though for years, thousands of years, Christians have preached and talked about the end times and the deception that is coming on the end. And so we look at this, and we look at the deception of Satan coming to the world. In many ways, that deception is here. But it'll come in such a way that people is going to be persuaded to go to darkness. Look at this in verse 1. I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. We see signs of 4 different beasts that appear in the book of Daniel on the Old Testament. Here, John is trying to tell us this beast is coming out of those beasts, the empires that existed, the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Greek Empire. But this is the last beast. It's the beast, as we saw last week, that is destroying everything that is ahead of it. Now, to this beast, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. So everybody's going to marvel at this. Everybody's going to follow the beast. And they worship the dragon, Satan himself, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast as well, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 1260 days, or 3.5 years, as we have read in other passages in Revelation and Daniel. Here it says for 42 months, which is the same time. It's a half of the time in the tribulation, the second half. Now, it opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. So it's going to speak against God, it's going to claim to be God, but it's also going to blaspheme against the temple, the tabernacle of God, those who are dwelling in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. There will be this authority and power given to the beast to such an extent that it's going to persecute those that call themselves part of Christ. The nation of Israel, saints. That's referring to the Jewish saints that are following Jesus during this time. And they are protected supernaturally, but some of them are going to be conquered by the beast. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. Every culture, every society, every government is going to be under this beast. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Every person. Now, this is not a forced worship. This is not go to church and see the beast. This is going to be an adoration and a marveling that is caused by a deception that is overtaking over the whole world. Now look at this. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. The only assurance of protection is to be written in the book of life. In that book of Jesus Christ when you accept them. Now, look at this in verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is able to discern and understand what's going on during this time, you need to understand today. This is the moment for sensitivity, for discernment, for the wisdom of God to come. Because at this point in time, you look at this. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain, with the sword must he be slain. The deception and the power and authority of the beast is going to be such that at this point in time, in the road, there will be two forks. One of these forks is to be slain with the sword and die for your faith, for the faith if you have faith at this time, or to be taken into captivity. There is no other room. Only one group of people is going to be supernaturally protected, as we saw in chapter 12. It is the woman who is going to be taken for these 1260 days and supernaturally is going to be protected by God to avoid the persecution of the beast at this point in time. But those that are not in that group, they are going to be taken captive or slain with the sword. Now look at this. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. And I really think, and we'll see this, that this call for endurance of faith, it's not only for those during this time. It's for us today. We look at this deception and counterfeit that is coming. It's going to overpower the whole world. Now look at this in verse 11 as we look at the second beast. We saw the dragon. We saw the first beast. We look at the second beast rising out of the earth. And it had two horns like a lamb. And it spoke like a dragon. Now it comes meek. It uses the name of Jesus in some way, the name that is used for Jesus in the rest of the book of Revelation. It's got two horns like a lamb, looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. Now you continue to look at this. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it's allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give bread to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who will not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast, of the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. The same exhortation again. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, we look at this and we see counterfeit. We see the dragon, we see the first beast, we see the second beast. We see the mark of the beast. Everybody's going to have it. Everybody's going to be required to have it in order to continue living in a normal way. Satan is going to deceive the world. The beast is going to come and overpower everyone. And when you look at this idea of counterfeit, overpowering everything in the world, how can we escape counterfeit? I think really the Bible is challenging us and warning us of the things that are to come. And when we look at this passage, there is deception today. In fact, there is delusion going on today over the face of the earth. We live in a time when the Bible actually explains this. We saw last week at depth that evil people and impostors are going to go from bad to worse, deceived and being deceived. They're already in a place of darkness and turbulence, but the deception that is coming is going to bring them to another level. And as we look at these, the Bible describes this deception, this illusion. There will be a worldwide regime, which the Bible describes as the beast. And it is going to rule the world, bringing chaos in history. The worst time of history. Look at verse 5, if we back up a little, the things that we saw. It has a mouth, this beast, that utters haughty and blasphemous words. Is using the name of God in vain. It was allowed to exercise authority for 3.5 years. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God. God is going to permit, to allow this. It's a deception and delusion that in some ways is at work today, the mystery of darkness, as the Bible calls it, but it's going to go to another level, and it's going to cause people to think, there is no God. This is the ultimate God. If there was God, this beast will be overtaken because of the words and the blasphemies that it's saying and bringing up. Not only blasphemies against God, but blaspheming his name and his dwelling, the heavens, and also those who dwell in heaven. Now, it will make war on the saints and conquer them. So, if God was real, and these were the followers of the real God, the Jewish people or the Christians, and if the Messiah is a reality, why are they being conquered and overcome? That's what's going to look like. This one is the God. This one is the only God that really exists right there. So everybody's going to worship it. Every language and nation and tribe and people is going to be submissive to it. And so the requirement here is discernment. Discernment, the ability to understand what's going on. Everyone will experience total deception at this point in time. And so, last week we were talking about this. What is a beast that overpowers everything? Is it media? Is it a government? Is it an idea? What would it be, the last viral thing that overtakes every mean of communication in the world and everybody's marveled with it? It's a total deception that is going to bring people down to their knees and worship him. It's caused by rebelling against God because people rebel themselves against God. Lord, we don't want your commandments. We know what you expect of us, but we can't follow your commandments. We're having a nice life and we want to live it the way we want it. But not only rebelling against God, the suppression of the truth of God, which we see going on in our culture. You know, taking off the commandments from the public places, taking God out of education and schools, taking God out of the courts, taking God out of the media, taking God out of history and saying, we don't want any of this God, and in fact, we want to be respected by not having God in our midst. So when there is rebellion, and we saw this when suppression of the truth takes place, then a delusion is sent by God himself to humanity. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ, will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And that word rebellion, apostasy, is a word that is meant to explain of something that you believed in and all of a sudden you have forsaken. In fact, in the book of Acts, we find that word again. When Paul is preaching to Gentiles, some of the Pharisees and scribes are angry against Paul, saying, you are teaching the Gentiles to forsake the law of Moses, to forsake the temple, and to forsake the instruction that we have had for years. It's an abandonment of something that was believed to be truth. Now, the rebellion needs to come first. And it's not just a rebellion in the world. It's a rebellion inside those who had, inside the in Christianity, the evangelical movement, inside those that at some point in time claimed or even agreed that this was the Word of God. You know, even when we think of this, for years in America and in the world, when people were not Christians, they look at the Bible and they thought, we're not Christians, we don't believe in God, we don't have a relationship with them, but we believe this is a book with a lot of moral commandments and direction for family, for humanity, for government. Not anymore. We live in a time where people is refusing the Bible completely. So that rebellion is in the church, is outside of the church, and then the man of lawlessness, the beast, is going to be revealed. The son of destruction is his call, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. That's why he's going to have this power. That's why he's going to blaspheme. That's why he's going to persecute the saints. And that's why everybody's going to marvel and fall on their knees for this beast. But the question comes, why would God allow that? Where is God at this time? I said something, the delusion is sent actually by God himself. In Romans 3 times, when people do not honor God or give him thanks, God turned them over to their own ideas and desires and pleasures. Look in 2 Thessalonians, farther down in the chapter, chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan. We were reading in Revelation chapter 12 that at some point in time, this Satan, this dragon, who not only makes war in heaven, but also makes war in earth, is going to lose all restriction. God is going to take all restraining away. He's going to be let alone to do whatever he wants. So Satan is going to have an activity over the beast with power and false signs and wonder. All power and false signs and wonders. And with all wicked deception is the darkness of Satan operating. But it's actually going to look very good, very powerful. And it says, deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They rebel against God. They suppress the truth. So now God is allowing it to happen. Satan is completely loose, doing everything he wants. But how many of you know that God is in full control at all times of everything? You know, the Bible says God works most things according to the counsel of his will. Is that what it says? No, it says he works all things according to the counsel of his will. Really? Why is there evil then? Why is Satan at work? Why do we see deception? Sometimes even inside the churches. Why is God allowing it? Why will God allow Satan to operate with all power and signs and wonders that people is going to marvel? Because God is going to give them over to a delusion. Now, most people don't want to speak of that. They don't want to look at it. They have in their minds a God who is actually struggling with Satan. And maybe at times God wins and at times Satan wins. No, no. God is always conquering. Amen? And He's got a complete, perfect plan that He has established. The question is this. Are you surrendering to the plan of God? Do you believe it? Are you applying yourself to the Word of God? We look at this. He says, therefore, because they refuse the love of the truth to be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion. God is giving them, turning them over to their own lust and their own ideas and their own, the things that they are chasing after. Look at this. A strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Going through the book of Revelation, something that really challenges me is this. People who are going to perish, they're going to perish because they refuse the truth of God. Even on the last 7 days of the Great Tribulation, the years of the Great Tribulation, God is extending His arms of mercy and love and calling people to Himself. Even angels are going to be proclaiming the gospel. The 144,000 Christians are going to be persecuted, but it is a time when the gospel actually is going to be proclaimed throughout the world in a powerful way. But people are going to be rebels against the Lord in such a way that they're going to suppress the truth, and therefore God is going to empower Satan in a different way or let him loose to do these kinds of activities. Satan will empower the beast then with false signs and wonders and wicked deception, but it is God who sends them a strong delusion, for they didn't believe the truth. They rejected the truth. They listened to it, but it didn't root in their hearts. It didn't produce any fruit. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to live the way I want it. So that is the way and the entrance for counterfeit. Now look at this, Operation Counterfeit, and I repeated it a couple of times already, but in chapter 12 we see a dragon who makes war in heaven. He dares to make war in heaven with Michael and his angels. Now Michael and his angels overcame and turned Satan down. He can't access heaven anymore. He can't go and slander the believers, the Christians, but he comes with great intensity. That's what the Bible says, because he knows that he's got a short time. Now he persecutes the woman, which is Israel, who gave birth to a child who is to rule the nations with the rod of iron. The dragon is in operation. Then we see a beast who is empowered. We saw that the power and the throne and the great authority of the dragon was given to this beast. And it is healed from a mortal wound. There is some supernatural event that is going to take place. And then, not only that, it causes everyone to marvel, receives worship, claims to be God, and makes war on the saints and overcome them. There will be intense persecution to anyone who claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. There is persecution today in the world. How many of you know that? Somebody asked a Chinese missionary, when is the persecution coming? In the middle of the tribulation or in the beginning of the tribulation? He said, I don't know, but in China it's been going for decades. We're struggling and suffering under it. Persecution takes place. Now here in America, we see more and more antagonism against Christianity and the truth of God. More and more rebellion. But also we see this idea of people believing in the occult, believing in lies, being deceived by religions. In many ways, you know, God allows religions to grow and sprout here and there. And they are overtaking people who is not firm in their foundation of God. And so this overcoming that is taking place in the Great Tribulation is going to be what we see today, but in a more intense way. Now the second beast that arises from the earth. This means probably a kingdom or something that is already established. Now, it's got an appearance of a lamb, but the voices of a dragon and the authority of the first beast is operating on the second beast as well. It demands that people worship the first beast, and it performs great signs. Look at this in verse 11, 12, and 13. I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, And it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence. So it's a relationship. It's a unity. The dragon, the first beast, and the second beast. You can see it right there. They operate combined and working together. They give honor to one another. Actually, it also could mean the first beast exercises all authority on behalf of the first beast. So it's always trying to make it look good. And it makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. They were already worshiping it. But this one is enforcing it again. The beast whose mortal wound was healed. And he performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. It's going to be a public scene. It's going to be a viral event. It's going to grow overnight. Everybody's going to see it. We have the capability. We have the media. And we have the culture to promote these kinds of movements overnight. I mean, I think of this and reading over and over again through these two chapters, I thought, Lord, it's going to be in one moment. The whole world is going to be deceived. And the power, the means to accomplish this power on the world are already established in many ways. Knowledge has increased. People move from one place to another. What happens in China is seen here in America right away. What happens in South America is seen everywhere in the world because of the media. This is coming. And it's coming to a generation and a society that is already living in deception. This beast's power, unity, and relationship with the dragon and the first beast will cause increasing deception, total delusion, and false worship in humanity. Now you look at this and it's nothing new. In Exodus, it was the calf that Aaron built. In the desert, it was the bronze serpent. When you look at the times of Israel, they were chasing after Baal and Asherah. When you look at the Babylonian captivity, they were worshiping the stars and the moon and the sun. When you look at the times of Jesus, they were worshiping the law. They were worshiping religion. They were following men, leaders of the world. But at this point in time, this idolatry is going to be pointed at one entity only. It's the unholy trinity. It's the dragon, the beast, and what many call the false prophet. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Now look at this in Revelation 13, 14. By the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth. They were already deceived, marvel at it, but they're going to deceive it even more, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. So he's going to promote the establishment of this image. You wonder what this image could be. What is it? Is it a hologram in the middle of the air that just bleeds? Is it a technological advance? What is this? The idea comes from an image, comes a statue, just the identity of something that has no life right away in the beginning. But then the beast will produce this image with life and is going to enforce worship of the image of the beast. It's going to give it life to. Look at this in Revelation 13, 15. It was allowed to give life, literally, breath. To give life or breath to the image of the beast. So that the image of the beast might even speak. It was an image, but now the image has life. And now this image is speaking and might cause those who will not worship the image of the beast to be slain. In the times of Paul and the apostles, you know, the emperor of Rome, he believed himself to be God. And so he demanded that a statue of himself will be carried and taken to different places. And as people came out of their buildings, they will burn incense and say, Caesar is Lord. But at this point in time, this is going to overtake not just the Roman Empire. Every citizen of the world is going to worship and to see the image of the beast. And the beast is going to speak. And the beast is going to be there present to slay, to kill those who will not worship it. We are called to have an understanding and wisdom as we look at these things. Ultimately, we see this, the beast, will produce a unique financial system to buy or sell, to buy or sell, forcing everyone to mark themselves and worship the beast. So this is the mark of the beast, 666. Everyone has come up with ideas what this looked like. It's a microchip. It said the seal on the product that you buy on the store and you scan it and you know the price. That's why we used to think 20, 30 years ago. You know, when I became a Christian in 1993, 1994, our pastor from Chihuahua will come to Texas, and he saw that as you got to the store, some of the new stores had doors that open automatically. You know, he was marveled by those things. He thought technology is such in the United States that the mark of the beast is coming soon. Because not only you go to the stores and the stores open up like that, but actually you have a card. And with that card, you are able to buy anything you want. You don't need to have cash in your hands. Now, you look at these things and you wonder how that's going to look. We don't know. We don't know if it's going to be 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. But you look at this and it's changing as technology changes. But even though we don't know how that looks like, would you agree with me that there are plenty of signs here to tell us what it's going to look like? I mean, really, if we miss it, it's because we don't read it. Or is it because we don't have the heart and the understanding and the wisdom of God? You look at these beasts and the power, the unity, the relationship, the control that they're going to have over the world. And it's a financial system that is not going to allow people to buy or sell. You're going to die if you're not following the beast at this point in time. Thousands, millions of people are going to be dead at this point in time by the catastrophes that we saw in Revelation. So we know that there are plenty of signs how these beasts are going to operate and to be manifested. But if we are to escape those things, we need to be ready today. I think that the call for us is not only to understand this counterfeit, is to avoid counterfeit. And I want to spend some time here as we go on, because I look at the things here, and even before this beast arises on the face of the earth, people are already on the way of deception and delusion. The only thing that is going to hold them from falling on that trap is a real relationship with Jesus Christ. To avoid counterfeit, we need a relationship with Christ. We need to be directed by God Himself. And we need to have a life that is consecrated to God. That's the key to avoid counterfeit. So I want to spend some time in this, because very often we look at the signs, we look at the book of Revelation, and we think, okay, I got enough information, I know enough of that, that's good for me, you know, I kind of know where I stand, what my view of eschatological times are, and all that. No, what you need to know and what you need to have is a relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all. How many of you know that it's not about religion? You know that? In fact, Satan will not oppose religion. You look at these two chapters, there is a lamb. There is a temple. Someone is sitting in the temple. There is worship right there in the temple. You see people marvel. You see signs and supernatural wonders. So there could be a false religion. This is going to be a religious system. But it's about relationship with Christ. It's not about religion. I think in America, on regular basis, I think in the world on regular basis, not only in America, there are many who enter the doors of the temples and sit in the pews of churches, and they listen to the message, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They have religion. They go because they have gone for the last 5, 10 years of their lives, because their parents bring them, because that's what they do on Sundays. You know, something that I realized with COVID 3 years ago is that when the churches were closed, a lot of people didn't come back. They realized they didn't actually have to come to church. They were doing it out of obligation, compulsion. It was just a religion. It was a tradition in their lives. But when you have a relationship with God, that changes everything. Amen? That changes everything. It's not even about the Bible. How many of you know that many sects and religions use the Bible to promote their own ideas? You know, Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes, You search the scriptures. You need to search the scriptures because it is them who give testimony of me, he said. But in them, in the scriptures, you think that you have eternal life. People use the Bible sometimes to gain more knowledge, to teach, to come up with their own ideas, to defend their own views. It is not the Bible. It is not even good works. We know this and we proclaim it all the time. There are people outside the church who do better works sometimes than Christians. How many of you have seen those people out there? But they're going to be deceived. They are already deceived because they don't have the Messiah. In fact, I want to tell you something. It's not even prayer. There are plenty of people praying in the world, but they don't have a relationship with God. You see them. You see them bowing down in the middle of the stores, in the streets, in different countries. You see them going to church. You see them closing their eyes and even praying for food before meals. They do pray. They are going through the motions. They don't have a relationship with God. You know, when I remember when I was a child, when I was a teenager, my grandmother, she was a devoted Catholic. Devoted Catholic. Got flowers on the fields, took them to the church, to the chapel, and she was deaf. Since she was 41 years old, she was deaf. So we would have to yell at her. But I do remember this, that when one of her sons, and then the second son, became a Christian, she refused Christianity. She didn't want anything to do with this idea of Protestant Christianism. And so she was a prayerful woman. This is the amazing thing. She was devoted. She was Catholic. She was well-intentioned. And at night, I will go and spend the night with her. And with her loud voice, because she couldn't tell how loud she was, she would spend 45 minutes going pebble after pebble and praying for 45 minutes. And then she will wake up in the morning and do the same thing for an hour and a half in the morning. She was very consistent. She was very determined to pray. But she didn't have Jesus. Let me tell you something. She hated Christianity and the idea of Jesus. She had religion, a lot of religion. She had good works. And she prayed more than most people that I know, honestly. But one day, in the month of March, she got ill. She was in bed, and her two sons, my mother and I, we were there praying for her with some of the other grandsons, and we prayed for her, and as we prayed for her, something happened. Now, she didn't hear, she was deaf, but God came and did a work in her life. She started singing and praying, worshiping the Lord right where she was. Now, she was about 90 pounds, maybe 100 pounds. 3 days later, she got better. She got up and she asked my uncle and I, she said, "Would you take all these statues off the wall for me and saints?" And we piled them all up in the yard in front of the house, in the back of the house, and she said, "Let's burn them all up." Now, my grandfather obviously was mad and angry, and he said, "Woman, what are you doing? This is your inheritance. They have been given to you by your fathers, your ancestors." And she said, "They are worthless. I am a follower of Jesus Christ only now." She gave her life to the Lord at that time. Now, she also said, "I want to be baptized." My father said, "If we get you in the water, you're going to die, Mom. You can't handle the water here. Well, let's wait for August, maybe." And my dad was actually kind of putting it off. But eventually, in the month of August, she was baptized. 71 years old. She looked like 95. I got a picture of her on my phone. And I remind myself of the power of God. You know, that's the way we are. We are deaf. We are senseless to God. It takes an operation of God, a supernatural relationship with Christ, a relationship where our eyes are open and we encounter Christ in order to be avoiding counterfeit. 2 months later, in the month of October that year, she passed away. But she went to be with the Lord by the grace of God. So that's what we need. We need a relationship with Christ. It's not about religion, not about the Bible, not about good works or prayer. It's not about easy believism, you know, trusting in Christ once and everything is going to be fine. It's not about a baptism certificate that hangs on the wall or on your desk. You know, it's not about your title. You may say, "I have a title of a pastor," or "I am a leader, I have a master's degree," or "I have this theology degree." No. pastors and full ministries are going to be deceived by the things that are coming in the world. There is rebellion in the world, we see, but there is relationship with Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 21, and let's look at these passages that speak to us not only of the deception that is going to come, but actually speaks to us of the deception that exists today. Look at these. Now these I say and testify in the Lord, that you as a Christian must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their mind, they have no understanding of the things of God. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, separated from that life that God gives, that relationship that we have in Christ, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and they have given themselves, look at the deception, look at the counterfeit that a lot of people is following. They have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Just following their own passions, their own ideas, completely ignorant of the life of God, alienated from it. But then look at us Christians, that is not the way you learned Christ. It's not religion, it's relationship. What is it to learn about Christ? You know, the Bible says that unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now you may be here and you may say, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I've been going to church all my life. The question is this, are you born again? How does that look like? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever experienced that in your life? That you say, I am born again. Let me tell you something, your parents are not going to save you. Your grandparents are not going to save you. A Christian education in a school is not going to save you either. Christ needs to change and transform your heart. It's being born again of the Spirit. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him. This is a supernatural teaching of God as the truth is in Jesus. It's God changing the way in which we live. Someone said here recently, I used to go to church and I thought, what is he talking about? And all of a sudden, I understand Christ in my life and it makes sense. That's the supernatural born-again experience that is given by God. It's not just believing that this may work and it's fine. This is a good thing and I do it all the time. No, it's Christ calling us to be His servants in a powerful relationship that trumps and overcomes every counterfeit that comes our way. Look at this in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, they believed in Christ to some extent. They believed in the signs and the miracles that He was making. He believed that He was the one that the Bible prophesied. But look at Jesus. He said, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. Yes, you believe. But are you abiding in the word of God because you have a relationship? And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. A relationship with Christ is something that gives you freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from ignorance. Freedom from hate. From anger. For a temperament that is controlling everything you do. Your attitude. It's a freedom where you say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to know that I am going to be with you for eternity. It's an assurance of salvation that takes place in your life. Now we look at this, and in this idea of being born again, it's this supernatural power of God allowing us to not only believe once, but to trust in Him continually. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, it says that blessed is the God, or be the God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that according to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again. It's a supernatural power of God that allow us to be changed to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all of a sudden this hope that enables us to go forward regardless of the circumstances. And then it says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, so not only you were born again, not only you have a hope that is leading you, but you have this inheritance where the power of God is leading you. And look at this. By power you are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. See, it's being born again of the Spirit, but it's continuing in the power of the Spirit, in faith, in a supernatural faith that allows you to believe in God and to trust in Him. Now, you look at this. How many of you have a relationship with Christ, but you want a stronger relationship with Christ? Let me tell you something that I was thinking through the week. Wouldn't it be nice if our government here in America acknowledged God more? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice that the full nation, America, experienced a revival? And the schools and societies and groups and organizations brought God back into their circles. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if the church, and I'm not talking this church, I'm not talking the church where you go, I'm talking about the general church in the world, was passionate about God in a stronger way. Wouldn't it be nice that that happened? Well, I mean, probably you know where I'm going with this now. You're getting quieter. Wouldn't it be nice that your family serve God better? So they will encourage you and motivate you to be a better Christian? Wouldn't it be nice that your spouse, your husband will lead you better in the ways of the Lord? That your wife will be more submissive and more gracious to you and maybe understand your needs more and be a better, stronger Christian with the Spirit of God in her life? Wouldn't it be nice? But let me say this. Wouldn't it be nice that you started on your own life having a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ? This is the problem. We complain about the church. We complain about life group. We complain about the circle where we are. We complain about family and our kids and our husbands and our wives and our leaders. And we complain about the pastors and the teachers. But are we cultivating a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question that the Bible is bringing us to. Because at that point in time, in the Great Tribulation, with the counterfeit that is coming, you are going to be sustained, not by the faith of people around you, but you're going to be sustained by a strong and real relationship with God Himself. But let me tell you something, you will not even be there because you might have taken on the rapture, lifted on the rapture, but you were saved before that even came. You are saved today. Today, by grace, by the power of God. Now, we look at these, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, His divine power, as a Christian, you have access to the divine power of God, has granted to us Christians all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that pertains, everything that we need, every resource that is necessary for us to have a real and strong relationship with God has been given to us. But sometimes we want to excuse our faith and our Christianity or complacency based on people around us instead of recognizing that everything is being given to us, directly to us. Let's face it. Our relationship with God is a personal thing. You're going to be as spiritual as you want to be in your life. And maybe today as you look at this, the question is, do you have a relationship with Christ? Let me even go deeper. You may be a Christian and you may say, I've been a Christian for these many years. Do you have direction from above in your life? We saw those verses. We were born again, but we are actually by power being protected to that inheritance by faith. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. And if we started in the Spirit, as Galatians said, why are we trying to accomplish our Christianity in the flesh? Foolish ones. Say, Paul, that's what he says. He says, remain free in the freedom in which Christ has set you free. So if you started in the Spirit, continue in the Spirit. There is deception and there is direction. The God of this world is blinding the minds of the unbelievers to block them from the glory of God. But the Spirit of God is speaking to the child, to the children, to the sons and daughters of God continually. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It says that we have received the Spirit of adoption. God adopted us, and by it we cry out, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit who speaks to our spirit and says, you are children of God. I feel like I'm not a child of God. Ask the Spirit. Pray to the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who convicts, is the one who corrects, but it is also the one who encourages us to go forward. Now, it says also in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And then it says, He who searches heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, when was the last time you say, Spirit, lead me to pray? I need your strength, your encouragement. If you're like me, sometimes I feel like if I only did this, the Spirit will be closer to me. Sometimes I feel like I have quenched the Spirit in my life, like I'm not submissive to the Spirit. And you know, the Bible is true. The Bible says, God gives the Spirit to those who obey Him. But also the Bible says this in James 4:5. Do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us? So the Spirit of God is jealously wanting to dwell in us. He's yearning to dwell in us. This is God actually wanting to have a relationship with us. Finally, not only a relationship, not only a direction from God, but a consecration to God. And in Ephesians 4:20, look at this. We saw this. This is not the way you learn Christ. We learn Christ. And then, I didn't read it, but in Ephesians 4:23, it says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It is the Spirit that renews us and gives us the strength. But right there it says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And I think if you receive Christ and if the Holy Spirit is leading you in your Christian walk, the immediate response of someone who belongs to God is sanctification, is consecration. Now, this is something that in our day, it's uncommon. We don't want to speak about it. But I do believe there is a practical holiness in the life of the Christian. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? And we are called to live in godliness. Now, look at this last verse here in John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly I say to you, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When we come to Christ, we are crucified with Christ to the world. Amen? And no longer we live. We are actually by faith living in the power and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But we need to die. We know that we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want me to live this Christian call? In a relationship with you and directed by the Holy Spirit, where I deny myself, I take my cross daily and follow you all the days of my life. That's the Christian life. That's the way to avoid counterfeit. That's the way to escape the things that are coming. Whether you die in the next 2 days or months or years, or whether Jesus Christ comes in the next weeks or 20, 30, 40 years from now, you need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and this morning as you listen to this message, you wonder, am I really walking with God? Is that passion a reality in me? This is a moment for you to surrender, to come to Christ, to accept Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. Repent. The time is now. Change your way and let the Lord speak to you. Let's bow our heads and we're going to finish with this song, but you know, if you want to pray, if you want to have somebody pray over you, you want to come to this stage and maybe surrender yourself in a more expressive way and seek the Lord, feel free to do that. I will be here after the song to pray with you if you need to. Father, we honor you. We give you praise. We recognize, Lord, that the deception that exists today, and the deception that is coming, Lord, to those who dwell on the earth is far beyond our power to overcome it. It's far beyond our ability. There is no power in us. There is no discernment. There is no intelligence. There is no strategy, Lord, for us to overcome any of that. The only way possible, Lord, is to be with you. To have our names written in the book of life. To be strong in your spirit, in the strength of your spirit, Lord. So, Lord, we surrender. Lord, the question for us is, are we in a relationship with you? Have we forsaken the things that we used to cultivate and practice, Lord? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we reading your word? Are we really, Lord, desiring to be like you? Are we, Lord, convicted and encouraged on regular basis by your spirit and directed, Lord, in different areas to live a godly life? Lord, that's what we want. Yes, we want revival. We want change in the hearts and minds of people. We want a church that is passionate and a worship that is exalting you continually. We want direction, Lord, in our leaders. But Lord, we know that the only way for us to be strong, even with all these things, Lord, in hand, is by your power, is by your grace in us, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we are complacent, when we let aside, Lord, the way in which you have called us to live. Forgive us, Lord, when we become more acceptable in the things of this world, when we make things of this world more acceptable to us. Forgive us, Lord. Allow us to humble ourselves, Lord, and allow us to live in you continually. Dying, Lord, dying every day, but producing fruit. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and worship together as we finish here this morning.